Is Grady Dick exactly what the Pelicans need with the 14th pick, or is he a one-dimensional player who won't have a big role? I'll break down the wing out of Kansas and look at his fit on the Pelicans. It's Locked On Pelicans. Let's go.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily New Orleans Pelicans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans and NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available wherever you get your podcasts and available on YouTube. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider, credential member of the media, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Here with y'all on this Monday, we're going to start looking at draft prospects, giving you profiles, whole shows here dedicated to certain players. We're going to be looking at Grady Dick, wing out of Kansas, in today's show. And of course, thank you for making Locked On Pelicans your first listen today and every day. We're here Monday through Friday. We got a lot to come in the lead up to the draft. This week, I want to talk about a new arena for the Pelicans too. So a break from draft coverage as well. We're going to have a couple experts and guests on the show soon too. So make sure you become an everydayer so you don't miss an episode. It's the number one thing you can do to support the channel. Today's episode of Locked On Pelicans is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's PrizePicks.com, promo code Locked On. So let's get into it. This is going to kind of be the general flow of the draft profiles. I know it comes to you like this. You're going to get 30-plus draft profiles here on Locked On. You're not going to get that anywhere else. We're going to look at their offense. We're going to look at their defense, kind of the strengths, weaknesses of both of those areas, and then their overall fit with the team. So let's start with a name that has been requested a lot, and that is Grady Dick, the wing out of Kansas. Shooting guard, wing, he's a guy who plays on the wing. That's what it is. 14.1 points per game. He's a freshman out of Kansas. Shot 40.3% from deep on almost six attempts per game, 5.1 rebounds, and 1.4 steals. He's 6'6", with a 6'9 wingspan. He'll be 20 during the NBA season. When you watch this guy, and the numbers say it too, you heard me with that shooting percentage from three, 40.3%. His shot is good. You want a shooter, and hold that thought for just a moment. You want a shooter, it's Grady Dick. This is probably the best shooter in the draft, if not one of the best three. His form, the movement, I don't want to say it's perfect. It's pretty close to perfect. There's just nothing superfluous about it. It reminds you a lot of Steph Curry, just super quick release that is picture perfect. And it allows him to hit almost any kind of shot. Catch and shoot, spot up guy, yeah. If he needs to dribble to his left, to his right, he can do that too, off motion. So the way he can hit all of those different kind of threes make this a player that defenses have to pay attention to. If you have a three-point shooter that's a spot-up shooter but isn't an off-the-motion guy, if he's moving, you don't need to worry about him too much. If he has the ball in his hands and he's not a pull-up threat, let him try and shoot from three. You want that. Grady Dick can hit them all. You need a shooter? This is your guy. Now, you need more than that, though. One of the things I said in the open, and one of the things I talked about where we looked at the kind of the biggest needs for the Pelicans and who are some of the players that fit those mold, were tall athletic wings that can do more than just hit threes. Trey Murphy being a good example of that. Grady Dick can shoot the threes. He's got good size with a 6'9 wingspan. There's not a ton else there. Now, that's okay, because I want to get into his offense as a whole. This is not a guy that's going to drive to the basket and score. He's not good at finishing at the rim. He doesn't draw free throws. He more tries to dribble drive and then does a good enough job as a playmaker out of kind of that mid area in the paint around the free throw line or so. That's useful. He can get himself into trouble. He's capable of hitting those tough shots and then passing out of that. But he's not going to really break down a defense. This is not a guy that is going to handle the rock and take pressure off of CJ if he's paired out there when it's just him and CJ and Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson are on the bench. That's an important thing to kind of keep in mind. How versatile is he exactly? But what he does do beyond just shooting threes, any kind of threes, is cut and works off ball. And that's one of the things that I really like about him. You know, look at the Miami Heat and look at Duncan Robinson in that game three where they just freaking destroyed the Boston Celtics. You saw backdoor cut after backdoor cut from Duncan Robinson. He's a three-point shooter. He's a spot-up guy. They let him do a little bit of playmaking. They let him cut off ball and just kind of got into the teeth of the defense, got the pass, scored a layup. It was easy. Made it look easy, partially because the Boston Celtics might have looked like they were giving up. But he was multifaceted in that game. That's the kind of role that I think Grady Dick can fill in the NBA. You see just much more size, a bit of Duncan Robinson in him. It's a useful player. The other thing that he brings, and we'll talk more about this too with the defense, is hustle. He goes after offensive boards. I don't think he's a great rebounder, but this is a guy that is going to try and go get an offensive rebound or two. He got one per game. Making those little hustle kind of plays, I think, are a really important thing. You want guys that just never quit, never give up, and Grady Dick definitely fills that. So he's got a little bit of playmaker in him, good size, and shoots the three. It's not a bad player to have, and I'll talk more in the third segment about his fit with the Pelicans and what it would look like and what his role would be. But good size and a good three-point shooter, look, y'all, for a team, the Pelicans were, almost last in the league when it came to three-point attempts? Were they last? I can't remember. Let me find out here. They were second to last in terms of three-point attempts per game. They were 15th when it came to three-point percentage. Well, this guy kind of helps with both of those. The fact that he projects to be such a good NBA shooter, I think, is key. The Pelicans, when you have Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, are just never going to rank insanely high in three-point attempts per game. Zion doesn't shoot them. B.I. likes to take the mid-range and not shoot threes. He needs to add more threes to his game. So they're going to rank low because the two guys using up the majority of your possessions aren't shooting threes. Does that make sense? So you need guys that are going to hit shots in potentially limited opportunities. Grady Dick feels like a guy that could do that. That is a fit, and we'll talk more about that coming up here in the third segment of today's episode of Locked On Pelicans. But I want to look at his defense. You look at him, and you're like, is he a good defender? And I'm going to tell you, he's better than you think he is in a way that really might work well for New Orleans. So we'll look at his strengths and weaknesses on defense coming up here next in today's episode of Locked On Pelicans. Before we do that, though, today's episode of Locked On Pelicans is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. And every day of the NBA playoffs and finals, one Prize Pick user will win a chance at becoming a millionaire. They have a $1 million daily super flex promotion going on. One entry placed after 8 a.m. Eastern will randomly be selected each day, and whoever placed that entry will be given a six-pick flex with the following payouts. Six correct picks, $1 million. Five correct picks, $80,000. Four correct picks, $16,000. You get four out of six, and you win $16,000. Full details can be found at prizepicks.com/million. You must opt in at this link to be eligible for the $1 million entry. Once you opt in, all you have to do is play the game like normal, and you could be the lucky winner. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 6 players above or below the projections you see, because the best part is you're not playing against other players. Use that sports knowledge. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget, enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. And thank you for making Locked On Pelicans your first listen today and every day. We're here Monday through Friday. Every day we're going to be looking at more draft profiles, more prospects. I want to look at the thought of a new arena. Christian Clark at NOLA.com, The Advocate, has a great article about that. And I've heard some things too, and I'll share it with you in that show. That's either going to be tomorrow or Wednesday. I think I want to take a look at another prospect or two. One that it came up a lot, and we'll do that tomorrow. What about Jordan Hawkins out of UConn, the shooting guard that a lot of people have really liked? I'm not as high on him as others, and I'll explain why in tomorrow's episode of Locked On Pelicans. Today, though, we're looking at Grady Dick, wing freshman out of Kansas. One of, if not the best three-point shooter. That'll put you on the Pelicans board. That's going to put you on my board, but I need you to do more than just that. The good news is I think he can work really well off ball. I don't really buy into his playmaking a ton because of where it goes and how he does it. But the shooting will get you there. But what about defense? You got to play on that side too. And the Pelicans did have a great defense all year long. Top six. That's a great thing. They were in the top 10 basically all year, even with a rotating cast of players due to injuries. You can be an impactful defender. You can find a place on this team and a good spot to be if you can do all of that. Sorry, I just got a text and it threw me off. So what he does defensively, I actually think is underrated. He doesn't have the crazy physical attributes. He's not this freak athlete or anything like that to go and be this like plus defender. You're looking at best him maybe being an average defender in the NBA, maybe a little bit above that. But not by much. He's just not that guy. Like, you're not going to put him on the opponent's best offensive player. This is not a replacement for Herb Jones, should Herb Jones ever leave. He does have that hustle on the defensive side of the ball, and I do think that's important, and we'll look at that in the next segment here. But he's not an amazing defender, but he does try really hard. He'll take charges. He will run around and try and get his hands up to contest things too. I do like that from him. Guys who try, especially with a wingspan like that, can go a long way. I also think he's underrated in one area. He does have very active hands. He does have very, very active hands and does a very good job of poking the ball loose and forcing turnovers and forcing steals. He's not elite at it, but he's definitely above average there. 1.4 steals per game over at Kansas, but he also helped them create a lot of turnovers for, you know, that steal became steals for his teammates. What that does, which can be really important on New Orleans and what they want to do, is create transition opportunities. And he's pretty decent in transition himself. Not elite at it, but he's pretty decent. Anyway, you're looking at him as a Puget guy. Pull-up jumper in transition. One of my favorite shots, things to yell when they happen in a game. So he can go and give you a lot of that. And I think that can be important. But is he going to be a guy that has the ceiling of a defender like Trey Murphy? No. Will he get beaten? Yes. Will he do well on ball screens? Not particularly. Watching his film, he struggles fighting through them. He tries to fight through them. Give him credit on that. But he doesn't have much of that and kind of just dies on screens. And you're going to be forced to hide him defensively. Can you do that on this Pelicans roster? I'm not sure. Maybe. This defense has been good and people who try go a long way. But it definitely feels like he's missing that kind of elite athleticism that would make him a much better prospect. This is still a guy that I think should go in the lottery most likely. You know, if he's there at 14, okay. But it just feels like he's missing a little something. He's not one-dimensional, but he's not elite on the defensive side of the ball. His one elite skill is shooting, which is important, but we've seen you need more than that. You can't just be a shooter and nothing else. So, with all of that said, how does he fit with the New Orleans Pelicans? Would I draft him at 14? Would you draft him at 14 if he was available? Would you trade up for him? Where do you think he's going to go in the draft? Let me know in the comments down below. So coming up here next in today's episode of Locked On Pelicans, his overall fit with this Pelicans team. Let's take a look at that. And thank you for making Locked On Pelicans your first listen today and every day. We're here Monday through Friday. No one else comes to you. No one else is going to come to you with draft profiles like this from the top play about all the top players that you want to hear. Tomorrow, if you're an everydayer, Jordan Hawkins is going to be who we look at. Wednesday, we'll look at the arena situation for the Pelicans because I do think that is an important thing going forward. And if you just want to support the channel in other ways, comment down below on YouTube. Who's a draft prospect that you want to hear a profile on? What do you think about Grady Dick? Would you take him at 14 overall? Does he have the best name in the draft? It's a fair question to ask. So what about Grady Dick's fit with New Orleans? I think it's decent. I think it's a decent fit. I don't love him as a prospect. I would not take him in the top, I'm going to say top six. And there's a reason why I say top six. We did a mock draft with Locked On. I'm not going to reveal my pick yet because it's coming out later this month, though we'll profile that guy. And Grady Dick went sixth overall, and all of us were like, wait, what? Seriously? Are you sure that's the pick you want to make? And he did, and they did. Tells you how some people view him, and that shooting is that important. But I think one-dimensional shooting can get you in trouble. He gives you just enough, I think, of everything else that if he's there at 12 and there's no one else you like on your big board, like, sure, you draft Grady Dick. When I was doing that exercise, and the guy I wanted to take went one pick before me at 13. And if Grady Dick was there, I would have considered it. Like, really would have considered drafting him there. I came down to kind of like two guys that I liked left there. Maybe three. Two and a half, three guys. Grady Dick wasn't there. But, you know, if one of the other guys I'd liked had gone before, he'd be on my short list of maybe three guys that I would take at 14. So I would. You know, his hustle, I think, will go a really long way here with the Pelicans. Willie Green likes those type of guys that are going to go out and try and get it. And Grady Dick does that. And I think that can help him overcome some of the flaws that he has as a player. The shooting doesn't need work. It's, can he put on strength and add a little bit of quickness? And quickness isn't really something you can add. You can get stronger to help you fight through screens and such. You know, could he become an average at best defender? If he reaches that, he's very playable. You know, I like that he's going to grab you an offensive rebound or two per game that he has no business getting that's going to help elevate you. That's important. I like that he could work off ball. There enough off ball movement in this Willie Green offense, in this Pelicans offense, to take advantage of him? It's a question, just saying. So when you look at it like that, I think it's a guy that fits. Maybe you just need a guy that could cut and do that and just kind of naturally understands what to do. He's not a great screen setter, and we'll look at Jordan Hawkins tomorrow when it comes to setting screens and things and how to use a guy creatively, because I do think he's good at that, though I'm not as high on him as others, and I'll explain why in tomorrow's episode of that. But Grady Dick's a guy that I like. I like him enough. I wouldn't be upset with the pick. But I've also, and I've fallen into this, right? This almost trap of really liking kind of one-dimensional players who are good three-point shooters. I love Sadiq Bey in the draft. Who was it on the Wizards drafted him two years ago that I really liked, and I took him in the mock draft? Corey Kispert, right? Those guys tend to come along a little bit later in their careers. Kispert started to really show off some talent in his second year. But if you're just a one-dimensional guy, it can be tough to get the kind of minutes and carve out the right kind of role that you want. And if that three-point shot isn't there, and he shot 35% his rookie year, it's not so great. Now, when you shoot 42.4% on over five attempts per game in your second year, it looks better. And he closed the year strong with a larger role. The Pelicans do have time to wait with a guy like Grady Dick, who you could see being a Corey Kispert type of player, maybe peaking at the right time. And that's when he would be coming along, when the Pelicans need him to come along as a player. So I think there's a lot of potential there for him to grow into that role. But he's not going to handle the ball like you need. And you can get shooting and cheap shooting elsewhere. And you can potentially find guys that are one-dimensional in the second round or later in the first round. Is it better to kind of go the cheap route and do that? It might be, depending on who else is available at 14. So I like him enough. He's not going to be number one on my board at 14, unless he's the only guy there. So I think it's a good way to kind of kick off these draft profiles of like, oh, this is what I'm looking for. This is how I kind of evaluate the draft and give you a little bit of the insight into my thought process. But let me know what you think about Grady Dick in the comments down below. Would you take him at 14? You staying away from him? Or is it like, we got to trade up and make sure we get this guy? Because I don't know if he'll actually be there at 14. Let me know what you think. And tomorrow we'll look at Jordan Hawkins out of UConn. And for the Everydayers, Wednesday, we're going to look at building a new stadium for the Pelicans, what that kind of entails. And is that actually going to be a reality? And it also gets into ownership stuff too. That's coming up later in the week on Locked On Pelicans. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. and I'll be back with you all next time.